Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome once again to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. This is Gregory, your genial and affable host, welcoming you to the call. You know, we've covered a number of topics on this show, but the bottom line is that this show is designed to give you information, support, self-healing information, and in some cases, even some direct healing, which is aimed at heightening your awareness and moving you more directly into that state of being and awareness, which we call, in the Light Giver work, we'd call it God consciousness. In other work, they might call it the kingdom of heaven, Satori, Nirvana, etc. Now, what I'm going to do in this call is just take on, head on, the question that is concerning most people today, those of us who are on spiritual paths and religions. What is it that is holding you back? Why are you not in the highest state of awareness that you possibly can be? So I took a dictation that I'll be reading excerpts from down about 3 years ago, by one of the individuals who I'm sure is a member of the Light Giver group, one of the Ascended Masters. And the title of it is called Trembling at the Gates of Heaven. And I'll explain to you a little bit more about what that's concerned with. Now, before I get into it, let me tell you what's really exciting, is that I don't know how many of you have had a chance to listen to the, have taken the opportunity, I'll say, to listen to the program Back to Brilliance. Now, the co-hosts of that program are Vivian Hildebrand and Lynn Hoft, both of whom are extremely aware and knowledgeable spiritual beings. Well, the thing that's exciting is that Lynn has monitored and kept up with carefully over the last several years issues and questions concerned with the significance of the year 2012. What is it that people were concerned about? How does that relate? How do the Mayan prophecies relate to that? And what, now that December 21st has come and gone, where people were expecting everything from the appearance of celestial beings, of extraterrestrials, of the rotation of the earth, and all kinds of calamities, particularly if you saw the movie, the film 2012, which showed the earth pretty much being practically destroyed by cataclysms and tornadoes and floods, etc. So here we are, already in the 2013. What did the past portend? What does the present hold? And what might the future hold? So Lynn will be on the show, on the Sunday show, which is 11 o'clock Eastern, and we'll extend the show for about an extra half hour. So if there are any of you who want to call in and chat with Lynn and get her thinking and ideas about various topics related to 2012, the Mayan prophecies, and so on, that you'll be able to do that. But in the meantime, let's return to the topic of the evening, which has to do with trembling at the gates of heaven. Now let me read to you the first paragraph of this dictation. It says, there are many who spend their entire lifetimes trembling at the gates of the heavenly worlds, fearful that they are unworthy of admission, poring over books, texts, and even discourses such as this, hoping that one more word, one more concept, one more class, one might even say one more prayer, one more initiation will gain them admission. What folly. So this particular master says, their teacher says, what folly. So the question that's being proposed here is, why is it that after all these years and centuries of spiritual teachers and spiritual masters and religions, that so many people, or I should say so few people, find themselves being blessed or graced with the higher state of awareness? Being blessed and graced with a continuous flow, so few people, in comparison with the flow of Holy Spirit. Well, to answer that question, it has to do with what is it that people are aiming for. And so many of us are so tied up with what could be called the struggles and crises of life that we're completely swamped and overcome and overwhelmed by all of the issues and things that are going on. So when someone says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it just doesn't make sense. How can you seek the kingdom of God if there's all this going on? But if you continue with the quote, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things will be added. The implication is that by making the search for or the focus of one's life going into the heavenly kingdom, by making that the primary intention of one's life, that then all the other things that occur will fall into line, will fall into place. Now, there is, however, another reason why so many people are still trembling at the gates of heaven. And some of it's because, with all due respect, they simply have either been misdirected or have received poor, in some cases, no direction. So we can find pages and pages of books and hours of lectures and talks and sermons and speeches by various individuals who claim, and maybe it's true, that they essentially have walked the heavenly world. They have visited these kingdoms of heaven. And yet, in doing so, they fail to give the support that's necessary to enter those heavenly gates. And by support, is it the description? Let's say you decided you were interested in living, we'll say living, in Los Angeles. So let's say San Francisco. Now, if I go to San Francisco and then come back and spend all my time telling you about it, spend hours and hours telling you about San Francisco and how beautiful that bay looks when you're standing on the one of those San Francisco hills, and tell you about the docks and all the restaurants that are there. Now, how is by describing San Francisco to you, how is that going to give you the experience of San Francisco? All you're getting is hearsay. You're getting my distillation of the experience of San Francisco, which ignores the fact that perhaps you might go to San Francisco yourself and have indeed a completely different experience, completely different from mine. And find that it has, that the descriptions that I've given you bear little resemblance to your own experience. Nevertheless, so many of these individuals who claim, in some cases they probably are, to be enlightened, depict all kinds of wonders of the heavenly world and how they relate to Spirit and God and so forth. But how does that get you there? Well, what it doesn't do, I'll tell you what it does do in a minute. What it doesn't do, it doesn't move you one whit closer to being either in San Francisco or in this discussion, in the heavenly worlds. In fact, for many people, what those wonderful descriptions do is they actually create a distance between you and the heavenly experience. And this is where the idea of being unworthy comes in. A good friend of mine I took her through the Source Nation process. And when we came to the end of the Source Nation process, which I'll go back, for those of you who don't remember it, haven't done it, remind you of some of the key elements. So came to the point of ascension. And basically she refused to allow herself to experience ascension. And her response was, I just haven't done enough. I don't feel that I deserve it. Now, why in heaven's name would a person come to that point where they had been relieved or had relieved themselves by asking the higher being, the higher self, God, Jesus, whoever they look to, Source, in this case it was someone in Eckhart Tolle, so they were looking to the mantra. So why would they come to that point? The reason is that they have such a wrong impression of what divinity or the divine experience truly is. And they see themselves as being ill-equipped to hold or to host that higher state. So if they were in a swimming pool and were being given the opportunity to exit the pool, they would be at the point of throwing the life preserver, and someone says throwing, or in the ocean, throwing them a life preserver, they would be in the position of throwing the life preserver back. Said, I'm not ready to be rescued. I need to be in here a lot longer. So what I'm pointing out to you is that there is somehow within the culture the transfer of ideas or the perception of people that people are unworthy. Now, this may have to do with some of the Western and Christian tradition of sin. But what people forget is that the way it is said is that Jesus died, or his life was given, essentially to relieve people of sin. So why then, if people are relieved of sin and they're forgiven of their sins, why then continue to carry the burden? Why live in sin rather than living in forgiveness? But nevertheless, there's this feeling of unworthiness, which I said is fueled by two things. One, this cultural tendency. Perhaps it's sin, perhaps it's karma, however one looks at it. But the other thing has to do with the elevation that some of these enlightened men and gurus have either given themselves or have been given, to the extent that there's this huge gap. There's this huge distance between them and the holy man, the gurus. So even though there again is a quote where Jesus said to his disciples, as I do, you may do likewise, still people don't accept the possibility in many cases that that holds for them as well. They'll say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Do you really believe, does anyone really believe, that if the Almighty is the Almighty, that things that occurred or were done 2,000 years ago are not available to be experienced now? Of course not. It all is now. No past, no present, no future. It all is now. So, thus then, so many people find themselves trembling at the gates of heaven. Unwilling in some cases or unable in others to enter. Now you ask yourself, what are the kinds of things that hold people back? Now I'm going to walk through the Source of Nation sequence again. Really want you to get this. The first thing is that so many people, without realizing it, are bound by agreements that have been made either by them or by someone else on their behalf. And those agreements tend to bind people to their circumstance. So that's why the first thing you do in the sequence is simply ask that any and all contracts or agreements have been made by anyone or even by yourself or anyone on your behalf that those contracts now be canceled. You ask that they be revoked. And the reason why you're asking them to be revoked so that you may continue to serve and to express yourself in a higher state of personal divinity. The second thing that you want to do then is ask that any limiting beliefs that you have, ask that they likewise be removed. Why? Because there are beliefs in the cultures that tend to hold the culture bearers, culture members back. These are beliefs that talk about your possibilities. One that says, for example, belief, I'll never be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. I will never be able to experience myself fully and completely. That's a limiting belief. The next thing you want to do is ask that any beliefs that you have that create limiting beliefs, likewise, you ask that they be removed from you. Why? Once again, so that you may fully express your divinity, that you may be a greater service to God in all life. Third thing you want to do, this is the fourth thing by now, I imagine, that you'll want to do is ask that you be disconnected from anyone who is filling your energy field with negative or dark energy that has the net effect of interfering with your ability to express your own personal divinity or with your spiritual development. Do you understand what we're saying here? Then having done that, you also want to ask that if there are any entities, beings with thought forms inside your energy field or outside your energy field that likewise are interfering with your spiritual development, your ability to express your pure divine self, then you want to ask that they likewise be removed, perhaps removed to other dimensions, and replaced with the essence of God itself. And that all of this energy that's being taken away from you, you want it all to be replaced with pure divine healing light. And having done all that, the next thing that you want to do is simply ask that any and all energy from any lifetime, early in this lifetime or even before this lifetime, anywhere, you want to ask that all that be healed and be removed from you and replace the divine healing, or in this case, multiplied healing light, so that you may be of greater service to all life. But understand me, that if that process has not occurred for you, either by getting on the website or working with one of the Ascension Masters directly, it's not occurred for you, then you will find yourself, for sure, trembling at the gates of heaven, unable to move forward because you're still bound and tied up with this dark energy, these other people, these limiting beliefs, perhaps some entities that are interfering with you. So it's essential that you take the time to ask your higher self, Jesus, God, Source, whomever you ever look to, it's essential that you take the time to ask to be relieved of all that. Now, that describes what is your clearing and healing of your aura. The next phase, which is spoken of as soul clearing and healing, which I discussed last week, is concerned with, one, you're asking to be fully integrated and brought into alignment with the purpose of your life, your individual spiritual purpose. I'm not talking about your next job. I'm not talking about you're getting noticed in the local newspaper. I'm not talking about you're making money. I'm not even talking about you're not making money. I'm talking about what is it that God expects you to do in this lifetime. And the short answer is to be even more godly in terms of how you live and relate to people and how you carry out your life. The next thing that you'll want to do is likewise to ask to be completely freed of any and all obstacles that are preventing you from fully allowing soul to express itself, to allow your divine self to express and manifest itself in daily life. and also to ask that any and all obstacles that you have to receiving God's love, that you open yourself to that so that, one, you're able to allow God's love to flow through you, and you're able to allow God's love to flow to you. So this is a part of the soul clearing and healing. And you've asked, then the next thing you want to do is ask to be completely integrated with divine will. So there's no separation between how you direct your life and the way God's will flows through you. Can you notice how the singularity with which you're now facing life, notice that you feel completely united and unified, and there's no doubt in your mind about who and what you are. You may have some questions about the things that are showing up, but centrality of experience and expression is within you. You are one with the divine will. Now, having gone through that, you're now at a point where, if you're willing, you can accept the experience of ascension. And what does that mean? Simply, it simply means that your focus moves to the kingdom of heaven, which is within. Just take a moment and to allow yourself to notice and to experience your own personal divinity. So this brings you to the point, really it's the point after the trembling at the gates of heaven. In order to come to this point, it means that your overall sense of unworthiness now has vanished, that you are feeling whole and complete. This doesn't mean necessarily if you have flat feet that your arches now suddenly appear. It doesn't mean that if you have dandruff that now you're dandruff free. It means that inwardly you know there's no separation between you and the God force, that Holy Spirit and you are one. You are whole and complete. So to continue with the dictation I was sharing with you, it reads, heaven is here and now and firmly within your grasp. You must diligently apply what we are teaching you so that not only will you enter the heavenly worlds and gain the consciousness of Source, you will take up greater spiritual and healing responsibilities in the physical and inner worlds and help those who assist Source to carry out its divine task. What you must understand is that your very reading of these words is an acknowledgement of the many lifetimes of spiritual development and evolution that you have experienced and of your readiness for spiritual and healing mastery. You're not an ascension master to be a perpetual spiritual and healing student. You're to become a master. Indeed, some of you are becoming a master yet again. The point being that each of us goes through many experiences. It's as if we're being sharpened to a fine point where there's no separation between the finger that we use to point, shall we say, in the direction of Godhood and how we experience ourselves and who we are. Now, there are many who raise and try to understand, what is this term master? Why is it even necessary? The term has cultural roots. And what they have to do with is that throughout history, there have been many groups and many cultures that have been headed by individuals who were extremely developed in whatever the practice was. So it might be masters of martial arts, masters of music, masters of various disciplines. It means that they are at the point where their understanding of and their endowments with their craft is so great and significant that they are able to share it with others, and in some cases have raised them to the point where they likewise possess the same capability. Now, in some traditions, the master is a master of individuals in the organization. So they will use things like, you know, my master, I'm your master, and so forth. In this context, what we are, when we talk about masters, we're really talking about individuals who are mastering and learning to master their love of God and their own personal godhood. We're not talking about individuals who are in charge of large groups or who are raising themselves above others and trying to become significant. We're talking about individuals who in their own quiet recesses of their minds and hearts have learned to master, shall we say, their love of God and their love of all life and their love and willingness to serve in some way for the higher cause. Now, there is an underside of this that I really should mention, and I would be derelict not to mention it at all. And that is, there are some individuals occasionally, and it has been my good fortune to be in the company of a few of those, who are so endowed with, shall we say, spiritual energy that they are able to share it with others. Now, many of these masters down through the ages were likewise endowed, and they would share it with some of their students or some of the members of their group by way of what are called Shakti pots, initiations, dikshas, you know, and so on. But the major portion, shall we say, of the spiritual endowment with which they were gifted, the major portion could, and often was, only shared with their successor. So on the one hand, it is true that these individuals can and do depict these wonderful pictures of heaven and also give their followers little taste, shall we say, of that consciousness. But largely, the greater consciousness was really withheld from the individuals who were their students. So it's one thing for me to talk about, you know, entering the kingdom of heaven and the God state, but I need to acknowledge the fact that some individuals who were called masters had the capacity, shall we say, to share by way of energetic transmission enough energy, shall we say, to boost or to support individuals in their movement of the kingdom of heaven. It's as if someone, say, the kingdom of heaven was surrounded by a large wall, and some of these master teachers are so endowed with God force that they were able to sort of give people a boost that would move them over the wall, and of course the people would have to be on their own and be willing to accept that responsibility. Now, I can remember when I was given that kind of support, that the teacher I was working with was in a position where he was being asked to establish a spiritual path. And his response was, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't have the administrative or organizational skills. So the teachers he was working with, now this is by his account, said to him, well, Greg Scott can give you a hand. And he thought, so I have to go down there and wake him up. So I was in contact with this individual, and over a period of time, he gradually kept, you know, sharing energies with me, endowments with me, and brought me to a point that my consciousness opened up, and I found myself being in direct contact with many of these higher beings with whom he was in contact with. So that was an endowment that was giving me, and that endowment now is part and parcel of what's available to people who decide to go to the website, have the Complete the Source Nation experience, download the protocol for sharing that with others, and these individuals then are able to support other folks moving into, not only through the Source Nation process, but also moving into what
what I'm calling, essentially, the kingdom of heaven. So the dictation continues. Your confidence in your spiritual healing power is so great that you could comfortably accept the spiritual amnesia of rebirth, knowing that you would be again connected with Source and transformed to an even higher level of beingness. Now, very few people, you know, remember past lives. And what this is pointing out is that the spiritual power is so great and the soul connection is so strong that even though very few people remember previous incarnations, still that force will animate their lives or animate your life in this case. It is this certainty that has propelled your spiritual search, and that it is this certainty that has brought you to this point. The gates of Source or of heaven are universally open to individuals from all walks of life. And obtaining it is reliant or relies on your soul development and spiritual training that you had in other lifetimes. Now, we do not mean to assign all the responsibility to you for developing yourself spiritually. You cannot do it alone despite all the things that let you know the master's job is to help you get to the soul plane and the self-realized or God-realized state. And it's said that from this point you go on to Source as if by yourself. Actually, you do not go by yourself. You cannot go by yourself. It would be a contradiction to say that. In the Source or God-realized state, you must cooperate with other Source beings, and you must gain that level of consciousness without the support and direct involvement of your spiritual teachers. What does happen is that your relationship with your spiritual teachers change. You go from being a highly dependent ascension master, like a child on a bicycle with training wheels, to one who's pedaling ahead with a parent jogging alongside. The parent only reaches to help when such help is absolutely needed. The parent gives gentle instruction and is available to answer questions, and mainly operates in silence, but is generally watchful. So now in this work, what the Light Giver work, what we're dealing with here basically is the idea that the playing field is level. But more importantly, we are raising the playing field so that rather than your needing to spend hours and hours and hours and days and days and days trying to step into, you know, a higher state, that what the website is equipped and empowered to do is remove many of the obstacles that people have spent, you know, many hours trying to address, and to allow you to understand that you're on the brink of experiencing your divine self. So to the extent, then, that you're no longer trembling at the gates of heaven. Now, my responsibility is to model the relationship you will have when you enter Source and to help support your transition from free will to divine will, in full knowledge that the outcome of an action is less important than the state of consciousness of the action. Let me say that again. The outcome of action is less important than the state of consciousness of the action. Am I making sense? Let me give you an example. I was talking to, again, another dear friend, and we're talking about giving, say, in a church setting. And, of course, the great story of the widow's mite. So the issue was not how much money she gave. The point was that she had the giving heart. So it's not the action that counts. It's the state of consciousness of the action. So if you give without a thought of return, then you have come to understand the importance of this, of how you experience yourself in the heavenly state. It is not enough to accept the goal of Source or the Kingdom of Heaven without fully committing to it. It is a goal that you will want to take fully into your very being, to make it a part of your very essence, to make it your very essence. For to achieve it will bring rewards that you only thought existed in books written by holy men and women or in your imagination. You will experience yourself filled with light, love, and all the divine virtues for which you have prayed these many years. Yet what makes the experience so exquisite is that Source Ascension, while of foremost importance in your life, provides the background underpinning the musical score and melody. You are the lyrics, but Source Realization or Self-Realization or God Realization enhances how your life goes. Well, I've been rattling on here now for over half an hour, and I do see that my good friend Susan is with us. So, Susan, let me open up your mic and let you share some of your perennial wisdom. So how are you this evening, Susan?
I'm fine.
Oh, good. So tell me what you're thinking.
I'm trying to think how to say it.
Well, just let it fly.
Well, with you were talking about past lives and, you know, saying everyone isn't going to remember all of their past lives or even maybe not any, depending on where they're at in their spiritual world.
Well, a lot of people don't, but some people do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm one of those ones that know most of my past lives,
but that's only
because of extenuating circumstances as a child, you know, as far as the way I was brought up and things that happened that caused me to be more spiritual, I guess I would say it that way. Not necessarily the circumstances don't have to be good, but it's what pushes you into the positiveness when your spirits are connected to you as a very young child and grow up. I have actually grown up with my spirits. My spirits have been around me probably 3/4 or more of my life. And so, I mean, I grew up thinking that everyone was like me, in touch with loved ones from the other side, grandparents that passed on. You know, I just assumed as a child that everyone could do. But when I was had gone to Hawaii and was going places with the military wise and socializing more and that, I found out that everyone didn't have my abilities or, it just came about in a strange way. Kind of not so good, but it was fine. It ended up being fine, but not that I liked it, because, even a lot of what I went through had to meeting all those people, and that a lot of it was because I had, this is my last lifetime for sure, according to them. And that's why I'm meeting all these people in groups, not just one person from a past life, but just whole groups of people, which is amazing even to me that can actually happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things even change for me. I've got a few new spirits around me, and some of them I try not to be, so used to having them around that I may not even know it. Sometimes they're around, you see. Even the man that raised me, my very last lifetime, and he knew it before he died. His mother died when he was 10 years old. And I happen to have been his mother in my very last lifetime. And certain other things happened to make me know this is true. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because when he when she died, she had left him a Bible with an inscription in it. And I found the Bible. But before he died, he realized who I was, and it was quite interesting on his part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on both our parts, because her death made him not believe in the higher power. But when he died and saw, before he died and saw in spirit who I was around him, he could not talk, but he talked in sign language. And it was quite astonishing. So I was so happy that he believed in the Lord Jesus before the day that he passed away. That's the one thing that I was so happy for.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, just hang on 1 second. It occurs to me I need to do this.
You are listening to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour with Gregory on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Gregory.
Okay, you know, it's interesting. Shirley MacLaine, the first book that I think she wrote, I think it was called Out on the Limb.
Yeah, I've read it twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, she had all these interesting things that were going on in her life, and got to the end of it, and then she really began to understand why there was competition between her husband and her father for, you know, her attention. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that there was this relationship that just went back through multiple lifetimes. And,
yeah.
And so it was very eye-opening for her to come to understand the basics. Yeah, the basis for what her experiences are. And I think I mentioned last week that I was married to a woman once who I said to her, you know, the whole purpose of life is just learn how to, shall we say, to live in spirit. She says, that's all you think life is about? I said, yeah, that's basically it. You know,
I remember you saying that. Yes.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing, and I think that the thing that's so interesting is to when you get a handle on it, is you just find out what people think is important, and when you
yeah.
find out what they think is important, then quite often the spiritual side, you know, takes the back seat. You know, instead of trying to get at, well, how does this give me a chance to show love, give me a chance to be open, give me a chance to experience pure spiritual freedom? Because, you know, when the body stops, all we have left is our attention and our intention. And if our attention is not on God and our intention is not to live in God, well, then by definition, then we're going to assign ourselves more lifetimes to go through until we learn that lesson.
Right. That's right. Yeah. But the whole purpose of knowing or at the time that we're supposed to, our past lives, there's many different reasons. But it does bring me back to Jesus, back to God. But in the meantime, one life from another, well, it proves that the soul does go on. The soul is a definite entity that moves us into spirit and back into the heavens. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's not a question making sense. It's true.
Yeah, it is true. And that's part of the purpose, and other people, to get them into the swing of things, I'm going to say, when they can start to realize, well, sure, we're here in the physical and our mind is here, supposedly. But our mind, if we use all of our minds, you know, the percentage rate we use is very nominal. We have so much more power using our minds than anyone knows, actually. But that part that psychics or spiritualists, whatever, going into the higher power, that part of our brain can grow in this lifetime and mature into spirituality, knowing how tied we are with our group of people we travel through life with, how interrelated we are. We're not just saying hi, goodbye. It's really many, many, many highs and goodbyes. And when you're dealing with strongly with certain people in our life, we can see that clearly. I'm sure people out there listening know that they have met people and they just can't figure out, what the heck, why am I so crazy about that guy, or why am I so loving with this person I've never met before? You just sometimes can look into somebody's face, their eyes, and just know you know them some other way.
So one of the things that I've often said, one of the things I've often said is the universe or God operates with absolute economy. So therefore, the universe just will not bring us individuals that are not opportunities for spiritual growth in some way. You know, like
right.
You say, you'll go to a party or something like that, and there may be 100 people there, and you'll wind up as one person that you find yourself just talking to, man or woman, and you feel in some cases really connected to them. Other cases, it may be you'll say, well, you know, this person, boy, I can't stand being around them.
Yeah,
well,
that's
just
right.
The way it works is because the universe says, okay, there's some unfinished business here in this work. I just say there's excess energy here. When I talk about karma, the point that comes forth is that all karma is just simply excess energy, energy that needs to be neutralized.
Cleaned up. Yes,
yeah,
cleaned up.
Yeah, cleaned
That's
up.
That's very true.
Neutralized. So therefore, you know, you'll just come in contact with these people, and it's not, some cases a matter of forgiveness, other cases just a matter of being disconnected or even noticing. Sometimes I've known, when I lived in California, so occasionally I would go back and forth to work on the bus, and you would become aware of someone else on the bus you may not even speak to, but yet you will know that this is a person with whom there is some kind of connection. And it's not something that needs to be followed up on. It's just
right.
Like, oh, yeah, well, that's that. And that maybe in this incarnation, that's all that's going to happen. You'll just be on the bus. I remember once I was down in Mexico and sitting at a table with 4 people. None of us knew each other. We just happened to be at the same table at lunch. I think it was a lunch break. And lo and behold, 2 of the people had actually been in England and had taken a ferry over to Scotland. And those
wow.
2 had been on the same ferry. And then my situation was that there was a, once I was riding past a little development here in Dover, and I looked, and there was a woman lying in the street, and she was waving her hands, trying to attract cars going by. So I pulled over, and another car pulled up, and it was her daughter. She says, I've been trying to get my mother. And the woman had actually fallen in the street, I think, and broken her hip. But
no.
Somehow we got her into the house. And then I left, you know, I just took off because the daughter was there taking care of things. And I never thought much about it. Well, at the same table, there was a young boy there, and he said, a young man, probably in his early 20s. And he said, asked what was his name. He said, oh, my name is, I think it was Ronnie Tyson. I said, Tyson? I said, that's the name of a woman who I helped pull out of the street there in Dover, Delaware. He says, that was my grandmother. And he says, "You're the mysterious black man that appeared from nowhere that helped. That helped. We always wondered who you were and where you came from. You just came out of nowhere. You know, I had become a legend in this family and didn't even know it." So it was just amazing. So here we were down in Cuernavaca, Mexico, you know, at this school, trying to learn Spanish, and there were these kind of previous connections just showed up. This couple that had met on the same ferry in Scotland, and then here I was connected with this young boy, Ronnie Tyson, and had rescued his grandmother. So, and those kind of connections are just there, and you wind up having to accept them and to relish them and know that they're gifts that God has given us so that our hearts will be open even more so.
Yeah.
You know, as the opportunities present themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very interesting.
Yeah, once I remember I just saw that they have, Outer Limits. Let's see, Outer Limits is one of the shows, and what's the other one that Rod Serling did? Old television show. I remember once there was a show, this is years and years ago, about an entire culture where people remembered all their past lives. And ironically, and so it's great to hear you, you know, talk about remembering some of yours and how you were able to thrive with that. But in this culture, people were so burdened down, you know, remembering some of their past obligations, they couldn't really learn how to live in the moment. Because, you know, whenever they came in contact with someone, then all this past life stuff would show up, and it was really burdensome. And it may very well be that's why. And maybe one way is to understand why we have this, shall we call it, spiritual amnesia that for most people just blanks out the recollection. So even though we may not have the mental recollection, still soul knows and the higher self knows what it is that we need to master and understand.
Right.
And it's
a level
above the mind. The mind is either a computer or a view screen. But above that, you know, above that, soul looks through, the higher self looks through. And in a Christian context, you would say that the individual, you know, it puts his hands in Jesus' hands and allows that to guide their life as they move to it and through it.
Yes. The first time... actually, when I was in my 30s, I had an experience where actually Jesus did come to me in my living room, which, I mean, it just lit up like unbelievable. And I wasn't particularly thinking about anything when he came to me, but he knew. I wondered what the heck I'm supposed to be doing. And his only message to me was, I would know in 10 years what I should be doing. And actually it did happen that I found out what I was supposed to be doing about 10 years later. And that's when my children were quite a bit older, you know. And I know 100% that Jesus supports me, my spirit support me in what I am supposed to be doing. But now I'm coming to the point like, I was thinking, you know how things, I'm changing. And I'm realizing that one of the things you have us do is ask for certain people that aren't good for you in this lifetime to leave, you know? And
so
I'm trying to say it the right way.
Let me just clarify it a bit, because you're right, and I may confuse those two things. The first thing that you're doing is asking to be disconnected from any connections that are not of light and love, see? So it means
that's
the people
right.
can still be in your life, But if they're pumping negative energy into you, you're shutting that down.
Yeah.
So that's one part. The second part of it is that if there are any entities or thought forms that are interfering, then those are the things that you're asking to be removed.
Yes, and I have, and they have been removed.
Well, good for you.
However, there's not too many humans around me right now.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah, so my directions are changing would be a better way for me to do that. Spirit's trying to get me to realize that not sometimes when I grew up with all this, it was normal to me, and it still is. But then my kids don't get around me because they know what I can do. It's actually funny. That's only for show purposes, straighten them out a little bit. But I am realizing now that some of the things about the past lives and that they want me to write about, my past lives and that, you know, make us, like B was saying, B. Deloge, she was talking about heritage, you know, and some people think that talking about heritage in this lifetime, but it's actually the root of your being would be another way to put that, maybe. The root of our being, who was, you know, I'm not talking about Jesus right now, I'm talking about our past lives, but then another thing is, you know, changing like this or redoing what I should be doing. One of the other things is I do speak in tongue. I have spoken in tongue for many years. Hmm. However, I had an experience which the Blessed Mother comes to me at night.
Oh, you know what, Madeira? It looks like we're almost out of time.
Oh,
I just want to, before we get off the call, I do want to once again remind people that this coming Sunday there will be the Light Giver Hour. Actually, we call it Conversations Beyond the Edge. And I'm really excited because my good friend Lynn Hoft is actually going to be on the show, and mm-hmm. We're going to talk about what were some of the things that made the Mayan calendar, the Inca calendar, so interesting, and what were some of the prophecies that people were expecting to occur, what's going on with that, and then now that we're beyond December 21st, then what is it that we should be expecting so that's going to be the focus. So I think I'm going to add an extra 30 minutes or so to the call. So if we do get any people to call in that want to talk to her, then we can do that. Normally, the Sunday show, we don't take callers, but we'll make an exception. So,
okay,
look, once again, Susan, I'm so glad that you called in. And so we'll talk next time that we get a chance to. So thanks again. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. And have a great one.